Sukkah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah, Tes 3:9. The Mishnah discusses the mitzvah of the na'anuim, of the shaking of the lulav. Now, midoraisa, the requirement is simply to take ulakachtem lechem, meaning lift up those four minim, and in so doing so, already midoraisa, he's fulfilled his obligation of taking the lulav. However, midorabanan, they were misakin that people should actually shake the lulav, and the shaking is done in the six directions, meaning right, left, forward, backwards, up, and down. There are a couple of customs regarding the order of those six directions, but whatever the case is, it's shaken in all six directions, and it's brought down, and the Bar Tanur brings it here. The reason for that shaking in six directions is the four directions of the world, north, south, east, west, if you will. That is to ward off harmful winds as we're heading into winter, and the up and down is to ward off damaging dew. Now, the Yerushalmi adds that Tzarich l'naneya shalosh pam al kol davar v'davar. You need to shake three times for each thing, and there are variant understandings of what that's referring to. According to the Bar Tanur, like the Rambam, it means when you take your lulav and you move it, let's say, eastwards, so you move it east, you like shake it three times in the east, you pull it back towards yourself and shake it three times again. Then you'll, again, direct your lulav, let's say, to the south, you'll shake it three times, and then you'll bring it back to yourself, shaking it three times, etc. Others, however, learn it means that you move it to the east and then back to yourself three times, and then to the south, and back to yourself three times. So there are different customs. Many have the custom of simply fulfilling both by shaking it in all six directions and doing that three times, south, east, south, east, south, east, etc. And each time you go south and east, you also shake that lulav three times. So a lot of rattling going on. So that's how Chazal were misakin the shaking. Now the ikar time to do it then is when you first make a bracha on Natilas Lulav and Shechiyan on the first day, and then you'll shake it in the six directions, shaking it, wiggling it three times. Minaneya is there's a wiggling, the shaking of it three times in each direction, and some have the custom specifically to do it inside the sukkah. Whatever the case is, in addition to all of that, and that is none of that is really the topic of our Mishnah, in addition to all of that, Chazal established that we should also shake the Lulav in the very same fashion, six directions, three shakes, during the recitation of the Hallel. As we'll see later on in the Masechta, I'll call it in the next parak, there's a mitzvah of reciting Hallel on all 7 days of Sukkot plus Shemini Atzeres. And during Hallel, which is the recitation of some, it's six different chapters of Tehillim. So in Kuf Yud Ches, which is the last of them, Tehillim 118, that verse begins and ends with that chapter of Tehillim begins and ends with the verse Hodul Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lelom Chasto. Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, praise God for He is good. Ki Lelom Chasto, for His Chesed lasts eternally. So it was established, as we'll see in our Mishnah here, to also shake the lulav while one recites those verses, beginning and end. I'm just a moment on my soapbox. The word is chasto with the samach, and when you recite the Hallel, you're going to actually say a bracha. Ashkenazim say likro as a Hallel, Sephardim say ligmor as a Hallel, whatever the case is, it's actually a specific mitzvah midr rabbanan to recite the verses of the Hallel, and therefore it's important to pronounce them correctly. And although many people pronounce it kilulam chazdo with like a z zion sound instead of a chasto, like a s samach sound, that's wrong and very not good. So make an effort to say kilulam chasto, which is not as easy to pronounce, but the proper way to do it. In any case, so the reason why we have a special additional shaking going on during the Hallel at that verse of Hodul Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lelom Chasto is because, based on a midrash, the midrash talks about how Yisrael, the Jewish people, emerge from Yemei Hadin, the judgments of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And while you might have not known if they were victorious in judgment. They weighed their lulavs, which indicates they certainly were. And it's based on some psukim in Divrei Hayamim, Chronicles. This is Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, and Lamed Dal Lamed Hey. The pasuk says, "Az yirananu atzei hayar melifnei Hashem." Then the trees of the forest sing before Hashem, "Kivo lishpot es aretz," for He has come to judge the world. So that is a reference. The hafshat, the judging is a reference to the Yemei Adin, and the atzei yar are like the people holding their lulavim, the Jewish people. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Hodul Hashem kitov kilalam chasto." That's the first part. So you see that's a reference to, that's understood to be a, like an allusion to the verses of our Hallel that we recite. But that pasuk continues on, "V'imru hoshienu Elokei yishenu." And they say, save us, God of deliverance. So that being the case, in addition to shaking the lulav in those six directions three times, when one says, "Hodul Hashem kitov kilam chasto," we also shake when it refers to the verses in that Kafir Ches that say, "Ana Hashem Hoshiana," please God, save, deliver us. So redeem us. So based on that midrash. Okay, so that's the basic story here. Now, in Kafir Ches, in the Hallel, when we recite it, the verse, that whole long thing, there's a few songs, I'll call them, during Hallel, which include Hodul Hashem Kitov, twice in the beginning and end, and then the Ana Hashem's in the middle. So that verse, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, it's only half a verse. The second half of the verse is Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, please God, allow us to be successful, or something like that. So that's part of the very same verse. And because of that, we'll have a machlokis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. When one is ought to shake the lulav during Hallel, is it just when he says Ana Hashem Hoshiana, or also in that very same verse with Ana Hashem Hatzlichana? Okay, with all that background, the Mishnah says, Veheichen hayu mina'anin, where during the recitation of the Hallel did they do the shaking of the lulav? Behodul Hashem tchila v'sof, at the verse that says Hodul Hashem kitov kilalam chasto, at the beginning and at the end. Note that as far as I know, Ashkenazi communities across the board say that pasuk twice at the beginning and twice at the end. Hence, there's going to be two shakings at the beginning and two shakings at the end, in addition to the shakings of Ana Hashem in the middle. Whereas the Sephardic custom, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, is saying at once at the beginning and once at the end. So there'll be a little fewer shakings going on. Okay. Fine. In addition, Uva'ana Hashem Hoshiana, Divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel hold, in addition to the Hodul Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasto, beginning and end, you also say it during the Ana Hashem Hoshiana. Beis Shammai Omrim, Af Ba'ana Hashem Hatzlichana, you also should shake lulav in that second part of the verse when you say Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, please Hashem, let us be successful. Now, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Tzofa Hayisi Barabban Gamliel of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva was a student of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. They were the Gedolei Hador in his time. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, Rabbi Yeshua was Av Beis Din, and they were the Gedolim at the beginning of the period, the first generation after the destruction of the Temple. And he said he watched them, Shekolam hayu minan es lulavehen, when all the nation was shaking their lulav, Vehein lo ninu ela ba'ana Hashem Hoshiana. And reports Rabbi Akiva, perhaps everyone else was shaking their lulav even during the Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, but they were not. They only shook it at Ana Hashem Hoshiana. So it seems the setup of this Mishnah is according to how the Gerus is in front of us. There was a widespread custom to shake at both Hoshiana and Hatzlichana. Perhaps the same way nowadays, there's, you know, when people get into the shaking stuff, they shake even they don't need to shake, kind of like if you watch people doing a Kedusha, for example, they start jumping up on their toes all over the place when it's not necessarily required, and they start, you know, bowing a different direction, not say when it's necessarily required. Ze'el Zev Amar, and so maybe also in the time of the Lulav Shaking they shook during the Ana Hashem Hatzlichanaz, and Rabbi Akiva was not sure if that was appropriate or not, so he turned his eyes, Sofa Hayisi, I gazed upon, I looked carefully at the Gedolei Hador, what were they doing, and since they only shook their Lulav in the first part, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Rabbi Akiva confirms that is the proper time, and only time to do it, like Beis Hillel. Now, according to the Girsa of the Bartanura, which is not our Girsa, he had an extra word there. According to the Bartanura, the Girsa is they shook Ba'ana Hashem Hoshiana Bilvad, only during Ana Hashem Hoshiana, which according to the Bartanura means that Rabbi Akiva is reporting that they did not follow the custom of Beis Hillel, even though Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel were from Beis Hillel, but it seems they, according to that Girsa, according to the Bartanura, they departed from the custom reported here as Beis Hillel's custom, and instead, they only did the shaking at the An Hashem Hoshiana, and not at Hatzlichana, but also not at the Hodol Hashem Kitov. So therefore, you'd have three shittas according to the Bartanura, excluding. So the Tanakhama holds, you say the Hodol Hashem and Hoshiana. Beis Shammai adds the Hatzlichana, and Rabbi Akiva says only the Hoshiana and not the Hodu and not Hatzlicha. At all events, the halacha is like the Tanakhama, Beis Hillel, that we shake during Hodol Hashem Kitov, as well as An Hashem Hoshiana, the number of times we repeat it, each according to their minhag and their community. Okay. Now, the Mishnah has another point. It's like a new topic here. The mitzvah to shake your lulav is applicable during the daytime. That's based on the pasuk which says ulakachtem lechem bayom harishon, on the first day, but bayom during the day, not the night. So we're going to talk about obligation to shake during just the day, and also now midoraisa, it's only on the first day, but outside of the temple precincts, the other days are midorabanan, and therefore the Mishnah says misha babaderech, someone who came from a trip. And he traveled without a lulav in his hand, which means he's arrived now, let's say he came back home from his trip, and he now for the first time has access to his lulav. So this must be a case of Chol HaMoed, because traveling distances is forbidden during Yom Tov, of course. We just finished Maseches Erev not long ago. But on Chol HaMoed, one could travel, and although one ought to mitzvah bab yadcha al tach mitzena, you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, don't delay, and z'rizin makdimun the mitzvahs, the first thing you should do is do your mitzvah, like shake your lulav. This guy didn't for whatever reason, and therefore he came in late, so then, since he didn't have a lulav biyadol litol, he didn't have a lulav in his hand to shake, likishikanes leveso yitol al shulchano, he should shake it right away at his table. Now, what does it mean at his table? So, the normal application is, of across the board, the general rule is that if a person has a mitzvah to do because of those psukim and principles of Sriza Magdiman, you are to do your mitzvahs before you do any of your personal needs, like eating. That's so you daven, say Kriyishma, etc., before you eat. And same would go for lulav, you would have to check lulav before you eat. If you didn't, so the rule is, of course, you're supposed to, as soon as you remember, do what you got to do. If you're in the middle of a meal, so if you're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, so you're supposed to stop what you're doing and do your mitzvah then and there. We learned these halachas a little bit in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. If you recall, we're talking about eating before davening mincha, etc. I was over there and taking haircuts and so on and so forth. Okay, so the rule is, you know, you're supposed to do your mitzvah first, but if you started, you don't need to stop your meal now to shake a lulav. You can wait till the end and do it afterwards. If it's a mitzvah derabanan, you can wait till the end. If it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, you're supposed to stop in the middle and do it right away. Okay, our case, our story is a person came from a distance. That means we're talking about a Chol HaMoed event. Therefore, we're talking only mitzvah derabanan, because only on the first day, which is the Yom Tov, is there mitzvah d'oraisa. And therefore, he really could wait till the end of his meal and then shake his lulav. Unless, of course, he sees the sun is setting, since you have a deadline of daytime, bayom. So therefore, if he's sitting having lunch and the sun is setting, he has to stop mid-meal at his table and shake his lulav to make sure he gets in his mitzvah before the window closes and the sun sets. So that's how to understand these words in the Mishnah. Lo natzel shachris, if a person in general failed to shake lulav at shachris for whatever reason, yitzel ben harbaim, he can shake in the afternoon, it's not a problem. Shekol hayom kash lulav, the whole day long, meaning but not the night time, is an acceptable time to shake a lulav, and therefore for whatever reason you didn't shake it in the morning, you can shake it right until, certainly until sundown.